We all like the idea of freedom, right? We want to be our own person, be our own master. We want to decide what we want to do, and we don't want other people to have to tell us what to do. According to Wikipedia, the definition of freedom is this. Freedom is understood as either having the ability to act or change without constraint, or to possess the power and resources to fill one's purposes unhindered. How many of you have seen the kids' movie Frozen, an animation? There's the song Let It Be, and one part of that song goes like this. It's time to see what I can do, to test the limits and break through. No right, no wrong, no rules for me. I'm free. And that's what our cultural narrative tells us today. That I'm free, that there aren't any rules, there's no limits on my freedom. I can do what I want, and no one's going to tell me what to do. Christianity is seen as the archenemy to freedom, with its rules, its commandments, its directions for living, and it seems so restricting, so tough to follow all those rules. So that's what we're going to look at this morning. What does Jesus say about true freedom? We're going to read from John, the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 31 to 36. And this is the word of the Lord. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, "If you continue in my word, then you are true disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And they answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever, and a son or daughter does remain forever. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." And that's the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word and the truth of your word. We ask that you come, Holy Spirit, that you would open the eyes and ears of our hearts that we may hear and understand what you want us to. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So the theme and the goal for the message today is this. Culture tells us that we need to be our own person, that no one can tell us what to do, and that's freedom. But being a Christ follower is actually the opposite of that. Jesus is telling us how to live. And in following his way, we will be free, and free indeed. So that's what we're going to look at this morning, is how can we be truly free? First, we're going to look at a couple of myths about freedom, and then we will look at a couple of truths about freedom. Myth number one about freedom. Our culture tells us that freedom means I am my own master. And if we're to define how the world defines freedom, freedom feels like complete personal fulfillment and joy, right? No constraints. I can do my own thing. I'm beholden to nobody else. I tell myself what to do. I'm my own master, my own boss. Who of you has small children or knows somebody with small children? Or maybe you're a grandparent to small children like us. Well, kids often want to assert their own independence, right? Even when they're really young, like not even 2 years old. You tell them that they need to eat certain vegetables. Well, they clamp their mouth shut and turn their head, and there's no way they're going to eat it. You tell them, don't run out onto the street. You might get hit by a car. What do? They run out onto the street. Our grandson, who I picked up often to bring to our house for the day, and they live downtown, right? By Roger's place, he would run out onto the street every time, even though we said, no, don't run out onto the street. Thank goodness he never got hit by a car. Then we have our almost two-year-old granddaughter now who wants to do things her own way and gives these ear-splitting screams if you don't let her. Her latest thing is taking all of her clothes off and putting them back on just exactly the way she wants to put them on, and you cannot help her. So she puts her t-shirt on like a pair of pants. It's quite creative. She gets her legs right into the armholes and pulls it up, and she's quite proud of herself. But it becomes a problem when you need to go somewhere and you're on a time limit. Anyway, sometimes I think we're like these little children. We think we know what's best for ourselves. We want to be independent. We want to be our own masters, but we really can't. We really don't see the bigger picture of our lives. So it's really a fallacy to think that you can be your own master. You see, whatever you live for becomes your master. That's what or who masters you. You are not the master of it. What you live for, you want that to give you significance. You want that to give you purpose. And you feel that should give you your freedom. But actually, it becomes your master. Whether it be your looks, your physical fitness, your career, your money, your family. You see, those things end up becoming your master. Because take your looks, for instance. You're never going to look perfectly the way you want to, because there's always something you hate about yourself. Think about your fitness. Working out at the gym. I was just there the other day and looking at these guys working out. They look pretty fit, but I don't think they'll ever say that it's perfect. They want to do more repetitions. They want to lift more weight. It's what drives them instead of them being master of their fitness. Same with your career and your money. When is it ever enough? You're never going to have enough if money is your master. So what you live for will master you. And where is the freedom in that? No one can really control everything in their own lives, right? It's a myth that you can be your own master. The thing is, everyone worships something or someone. Cultural anthropologists have studied this over the years. Every culture has its system of economics, of politics, their social structure, and their religion. There is something or someone that everybody worships. So it's not a matter of who you are, but it's a matter of whose you are. It's not a matter of your independence or your freedom. It's a matter of who you belong to. What is your master? So I'll get back to this again when we look at the second myth about freedom. And this second myth is, freedom is doing what I want to do. I can choose for myself. The thing is, our desires are this cauldron of conflicts. You choose one thing, but you have to let go of something else. I want to be healthy, and yet I want to eat the way I want to eat. I went to see my doctor a while ago for a physical. She told me my cholesterol was getting a bit too high. I needed to watch my diet. I needed to exercise more. I'm like, what? You're telling me I need to do these things? I need to make choices between eating healthy and not? But I like ice cream. I like bacon. I like butter. I want to eat those things. And I should be free to eat those things. But the thing is, I'm in relationship with other people. I can't just do what I want to do because I am a wife. I'm a mother. I'm a grandmother. I'm part of this community here. I can't just decide I'm going to eat those things and then risk having a heart attack. So there's something wrong with that idea of freedom, right? Some of you may be thinking, well, that doesn't really apply to me. Well, think about it. Some of you young folks here, young guys, girls, you're on sports teams. You're on play basketball, you play volleyball or hockey. And your coach tells you, eat nutritious food, get a good night's sleep, especially before the game, especially before your playoffs. And you're like, well, I'd rather just do what I want to do. I can decide what I want to eat. I'd rather eat chocolate bars, drink pop, and eat chips, and go to bed late, watch a movie, who cares? So the next day at the game, you don't play your optimum performance, and you let down your teammates, you let down your coach. You see, the thing is about freedom is that we have to make choices because they affect other people. You see, freedom isn't absolute. We have to choose some restraints, some constraints, and let go of others. And oftentimes, things, those restraints in life, are actually chosen for us rather than by us. So we need to see that we need to choose liberating constraints. So a person who thinks they can be free of restraints or constraints in this life are really mistaken. They won't really know what it's like to be in a loving relationship with another person. You see, when we are in relationship with other persons, we have to give up some of our freedom, some of our independence. We have to work with the other person. We need to compromise. We need to serve the other person, to love the other person. Let's just look at a couple who are starting to date. They're starting to really like each other. And then after a few months, the guy says, "You know what? I'm leaving. I just booked myself a vacation in Mexico and I'm going to be gone for a week." And she goes, "Oh, and you're leaving when? Tomorrow? What? You never told me about this? You're just leaving on your own?" Well, you know what? I think we're breaking up. Why would I want to spend time with such a selfish person? You see, love is actually constraining us. And when you think about it, when you give yourself to another person, you are compromising. You are giving up some things. So you have to understand there's complexity to freedom. We as humans are actually most free when we are in relationships of love with other people. And I'm not just talking about couples or in marriages. It's in any relationship you have with anybody, your family, your friends. We are designed by God to be in relationship with people. No one is an island. C.S. Lewis said this: "Love anything, and your heart will certainly be wrung and possibly broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give your heart to no one, not even an animal. Wrap it carefully around with your hobbies, your little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in the casket or coffin of your selfishness. In that casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, and irredeemable." For a relationship to be healthy, there must be this mutual loss of independence and your freedom. Both sides adjust to the other and make sacrifices. So we just covered a couple of myths about freedom, and now we'll look at a couple of truths about freedom. We'll look at our passage now. Jesus said, "It's not about who is the master, but about having the right master." If you look at this verse, Jesus answered them in verse 34. He's talking to the Jews who believed him. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever, but the son or daughter does remain forever." Now, what is Jesus talking about here? Jesus is saying we're all slaves to sin. I know that's not a very popular topic to talk about these days. We don't want to be talking about sin and what that means, but we need to understand what Jesus is saying here. We are slaves to sin. So what is sin? I like to think of it as missing the mark of what God intends for us to do or how to live. Think of an archer and his target. Now, Lawrence is a hunter. He hunts with bow and arrow, and he often sets up a target in our yard. We live on an acreage, so there's lots of space. And he practices to try and hit the bullseye in the target. Doesn't always hit it. Doesn't even hit it that often. And the thing is, it's pretty hard for us always to live according to the way God wants us to hit that bullseye all the time. Now, God does give us rules to live by. Think about the Ten Commandments, where he says that we are to worship God that we are to have no idols, we're to honor our parents, we're to not murder or steal or commit adultery or bear false testimony against our neighbor or covet what our neighbor has. Also, Jesus told us many ways how to live. He talks in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5-7 about loving our enemies, about forgiving others, about being salt and light, about being merciful, about being righteous, about being peacekeepers, peacemakers. And Jesus also said that we're to be perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect, Matthew 5, verse 48. You're like, what? How could we possibly be perfect like God is perfect? It's totally impossible. But that's the point. We can't do it. We can't do it on our own, which is why we need Jesus. And the thing is, sin is not only that we miss the mark. It goes so much deeper than that. Sin has pervaded our hearts. And it's a condition that affects every human being. It's not just our actions or our lack of action. It's our hearts. Matthew 15, verse 19 says, "For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander." But the thing is, God is gracious. God will forgive us, and He is the only master that can do that and set us free because of Jesus' death on the cross. We're slaves to sin, yes, because we cannot break free in our own strength. We need a Savior. We get so stuck in our greed, our rebelliousness, our pride, our worry, our anxieties, our pettiness, our judgmentalism, our feelings like we're not worthy of God's love. And what Jesus does for us is not only to forgive us our sins, but to change us from the inside out. He transforms our hearts. We become a new creation in Christ, and we're no longer slaves to sin. And that's what it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. So Jesus says another curious thing. A slave will not remain in the house forever, but a son or daughter will, and that makes you free. You're wondering, what does he mean here? Why would a slave not stay in the house? What house is he talking about? Just want to give an illustration. Who has seen the show Downton Abbey? This is a British drama that takes place in the turn of the century, early 1900s, right after the sinking of the Titanic. And Lord Grantham runs the household. He lives there with it's a very large, beautiful manor in Britain, and he lives there with his wife, his three daughters, and in the basement live the servants. And they, for this illustration, I'll call them slaves. They live there in the basement and do the cooking, the cleaning, the chauffeur taking care of the cars, all those things. And the thing is, they're never sure that they can stay there, because they might do something wrong. They might burn the roast. They might serve the meal incorrectly, and they might get let go at any time. They're never sure that they can stay. But the children, they are assured that they will never, ever be put out. One of the servants marries the youngest daughter of Lord Grantham, and he becomes a son. He moves upstairs in the house. And he never loses his place, even though his wife dies. And so it is with us. Jesus says, a slave has no permanent place, but a son or daughter does. So think about what that means. You and I are adopted children of God. There's no way that we will ever be sent away out of God's family, no matter what we do. No matter if we miss the mark time and time and time again, Jesus has forgiven us, and His love is unconditional. Do you see that? Do you understand what Jesus is saying here? The thing is, Jesus died for you. He died to forgive your sins. So you are no longer a slave. You are children of God, and you are set free. But if you think of God as your boss, as just someone you have to obey that demands that you follow the rules, then you have the wrong picture of God. The thing is, if you believe or see God as your boss, then you're going to be a slave to God, not a slave to sin. Worrying in fear that one day you're going to be sent out or thrown out because you've disobeyed or you've done something wrong. But the truth is, if God is a loving God, He loves you. You're His child. He's not going to throw you out. But if you see God as a boss, you're always thinking, God, why aren't you answering my prayers? I'm doing all these things right, and I'm doing all these things for you, and yet you're not blessing me. You're not answering my prayers. Why, God? Why? And you become self-righteous. You become judgmental of other people who are not doing all these things that you're doing. But you're a slave. You're not free. But true freedom is that when you are in Christ, you are a child, and you'll never be thrown out. You'll remain forever. The second truth about freedom. Freedom is about making choices, but choosing the right thing, choosing liberating constraints. The second myth, remember, is about I can choose whatever I want to choose. Well, when you give yourself to God, and that's how you become a child of God, you say yes to God, you may think that you are the only one compromising, that you're giving up your freedom in order to follow God. But actually, Jesus Christ was the one who gave up the most. He compromised the most for us. He came down from heaven to earth. He adjusted to us, and He gave up His life for us. He essentially says, I will serve you, even though it means great sacrifice for me. Is it hard to love God? C.S. Lewis said, not for those who do it. It's just like when you really love somebody, you don't mind to give up your freedom in order to compromise and do what the other person does. It's no trouble at all because you love them. And so it is with God. When you realize what Jesus has done for you and how He changed you and gave Himself for you, you aren't afraid of giving up your freedom and therefore finding your freedom in Him. You see, freedom is not about doing what I want to do. It's about doing what Jesus designed you to do. Freedom is to side with the desires of how you are designed. So freedom is about making choices, but choosing the right thing, choosing these liberating constraints. You see, God created you in a certain way. He designed you. He's your architect. He's the one who drew up the blueprints of you. He created your body to work best physically when you eat right and you exercise. So in the spiritual sense of freedom, He gave you rules for your life that are actually the very best way for you to live, the way He designed you to live. And in that, you will find fulfillment. You will find freedom. Let's look at this verse, verse 31. Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, and then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Wow, did you hear that? Let's look at this a little more closely. Jesus said, hold to my teaching. You will be free when you live the way your Creator designed you to live. You get your freedom from that, by knowing the truth. And who is the truth? What is the truth? But who is the truth? Jesus Christ said, He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the truth. Get to know Jesus. Get to know His teachings. But there's one very, very important thing here that I don't want you to misunderstand or to miss. So please listen to this. You see, when Jesus says, hold on to my teachings, and that in itself will not set you free. It's not about what you are doing, because our works cannot set us free. We have been saved by grace. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." But it's about Jesus Christ and Him dying for you to set you free. And then you become this new creation. You become a disciple of Jesus Christ, the person who loves to have God tell him or her what to do. The person who goes to God every morning and says, "What would you have me do today?" You become a true disciple of Jesus then, and you will know the truth of who Jesus is, and He will set you free. The only true freedom is in Jesus Christ. So ask yourself, am I a child of God or am I a slave? Am I a disciple of Jesus? Has Jesus set me free? Why not give yourself to the only master who gave himself totally for you? He died for you. He gave his life for you. Would anyone else do that, or anything else could possibly do that for you? He loves you. You can trust him with your life and follow him. He created you, He designed you, and wants you to know the best way for you to live. Let Him be the master of your life. Let Jesus give your life meaning and purpose. Let Jesus set you totally free. Amen. Let's pray. God our Father, thank you so much for making us your children and giving us a place, a permanent place, in your kingdom. Thank you for setting us free from slavery to sin and making us your sons and daughters. And for those of us who are not sure about this, who want to hang on to their own freedom, so to speak, and don't want the freedom that you give, we ask that you would help them experience your love and your grace and your mercy. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.